arcade, whether you think the city was wise to tear down that lovely old building or whether you think that was a mistake.
Basically, I don't think it was a mistake to tear the building down. And I'm talking about it mainly from a financial point of view. The building had grown old. The plumbing and electrical equipment in the building had deteriorated tremendously. And to bring it up to date would have cost almost as much as erecting a new building. Although the building was a landmark in the city of Pittsburgh, I think the Renaissance, that is Renaissance I as far as Renaissance II, have been a tremendous asset to this city. And if some of the landmarks have to go because of this development, I feel the advantages are much greater than the liabilities of losing a landmark. We are a young country. We are not looking back on hundreds of years of tradition and history. And I think as a young and vital country, we should take advantage of modernization and modern technology.
So you left the Jenkins Arcade in 69 and had two stores, one in...
No.
You didn't?
No, no. I told you we opened a store in Mount Lebanon in 1963. We had a 5-year lease there, and after that lease was up, we decided not to continue there, because that store was not nearly as profitable as the Shadyside store was. And we felt for the effort that we put into it, the returns weren't worthwhile to stay there. So in 1969, we really only had two stores left. And at that point, our family had grown up. We had only one child in college left. The other ones had graduated, were on their own. The children particularly felt that we should try to make the workload a little bit lighter, and persuaded us to, when I say us, my wife and me, to give up the downtown store and concentrate on the Shadyside store. And very interestingly, this was excellent advice, because a great majority of the customers we had in the Jenkins Arcade followed us to Shadyside, so that within less than 2 years, our volume in Shadyside was larger than the volume had been in both stores together before we closed the Jenkins Arcade. Mm. And of course, having only one store, we did the same volume as we had done, or more volume than we had done in two stores, at half the expense.
Right.
So it made the operation very, a very profitable operation.
Well, Zentler's had quite a reputation. I remember it as a kid, even. It was always the best place to go for those things that you sold. But I'd like you to explain again in detail, what were the items that you specialized in?
The classification of merchandise that we handled were men's and ladies' handkerchiefs, bed linens, towels, table linens, in lingerie, we handled slips and half slips, nightgowns, pajamas, and housecoats, robes.
Well, what I don't remember, I do remember Zentler's very well. That was the place to go for good quality things. So you made that point in the city.
The thing that was very interesting is that after the store had sort of run down in the 40s, due to the war and due to the fact that Mrs. Zentler was not quite as active in the business as she had been before, or maybe not quite as aggressive in the business as she had been before, it took us quite a little bit of time to build it up again to the quality that the name carried in the city of Pittsburgh. But after we had done this, it really was the only store in Pittsburgh that carried fine merchandise in the classification that we handled.
That's a good position to be in. Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking, when did you retire from business? What year was it? Because Zentler's is no more.
No. But we sold the Shadyside store December 31st, 1978. And the young lady who bought it from us, although she paid goodwill for the name, decided to change the name.
I wondered about that, yeah.
And it is called now Necessities Limited.
What a mistake she made, I think, as a businessman.
I happen to agree with me, although she wanted to give the store a completely new image.
She sure did.
She did it in many ways. She appeals to a much younger group of customers. Mm-hmm. She traded the store up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And in order to bring that across, she felt it was necessary to also change the name.
Yeah.
I can't completely disagree with what she... I disagree with what she did, but I don't disagree with trying to do something else than what had been done for many years before then.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're in a good position to answer these kind of questions. Since you were in business in Shadyside, which is real, how would you describe Shadyside as a community?
Shadyside is, as a community, is a... as a community, is a I would say, from the economic point of view, mainly in the middle and upper middle,
right,
society. It's a community which is quite conservative, a community which has remained very steady. There is not a great deal of turnover of houses or apartments in this area. Many of the houses have been remodeled and redone, and it has given Shadyside a very nice look, not a new look, but a very nice and clean look.
Would you say charm?
It has a certain charm. Of, let's say, the early part of the century. I think it attracts many young people who want to start to raise a family. We have excellent schooling here. We also have a great many students who live here because Carnegie Mellon, Pitt, and Chatham are basically within walking distance. Right. It's a community that is very easily reached from almost any part of the eastern part of the city. And finally, and probably most important, is a community that has a very unique shopping area.
Sure does.
I have nothing to do with it anymore, so I'm rather unprejudiced when I speak about Shadyside. I believe today it is probably the best shopping area in the city of Pittsburgh to buy good and unusual merchandise of most any type.
Right.
And the area is growing.
Still. Would you add that property-wise, the value of property in that area has skyrocketed?
It surely has appreciated a great deal. I don't know if I would call it skyrocketing, but it has appreciated a great deal. But properties in the eastern part of the city of Pittsburgh have appreciated all around.
I felt this more so because recently the corner, Walnut and Aiken, that building that used to house, what did it house?
Taylor's.
Yeah.
Taylor's Bar.
I heard it went for over $1 million.
I heard many figures about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
What really was sold there was not the building, but the ground.
Sure.
Because they're practically going to gut the building.
Exactly. Build another one. Well, we sure spent a lot on Shadyside.
We need to get to family.
Yes.
Personal life.
All right. What we haven't really clearly gotten down is your children, have we?
Well, courtship, marriage.
Yes.
We don't know about how
you met
the
your wife.
Is met.
Why don't we start with how you met and wooed your wife and how many children you have, and bring us up to date.
Well, I met my wife at Gimbel's. She was the secretary to the assistant store manager. And we dated for a long time. We dated for about 3 years because I felt with the responsibility I had for my parents, I could not afford to get married. Ruth was a very pretty girl. And she is still a very pretty woman.
Did you say how you met her?
I met her at Gimbel's.
Yes.
We were married in 1941.
Where were you married?
We were married in the study of Tree of Life.
Oh, then you were part of Tree of Life, then?
Mm-hmm. My wife's family was.
I see.
I never was.
Because you were Rhoda Shaw.
Yeah.
I see.
What was her maiden name?
Rosenson. Rosenson. First name was Ruth.
Did you say how old you were when you married?
How old I was? Sure. I was 29.
You're saying it now.
I right. thought you asked me when I was born a long time ago.
No, but when you got married, I meant. You were 29 when you married.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Old.
Well, not anymore. You know, today.
I don't know.
In this century, because I have 3 single daughters, men are not marrying, period. I don't know when they're going to get married. That's the way it looks. So you were young when you got married.
Well, you're not going to go into that now.
No.
No. Where did you live?
We lived at Phillips Avenue first. From there, we moved to Lower Beachwood Boulevard. With Lower Beachwood Boulevard, I'm in the area that is now right adjacent to the parkway.
Mm-hmm. I know that. Mm-hmm.
And in 1945, we bought a house on Woodward Street.
House where?
On Woodwell, W-O-O-D-W-E-L-L.
Yeah, okay. Isn't that off of...
Barnsdale.
Barnsdale, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You lived in that area.
Yep.
This was while you were working at Gimbel's that you married?
This was all while we were working
yes.
at Gimbel's.
Yes.
My wife worked after she left. She left Gimbel's before we were married. Worked for the state for a number of years.
How was it working for Gimbel's? It was a Jewish-owned company, wasn't it? Did it mean anything?
It was a publicly owned company. It was a public stock company.
Were most of the executives Jewish in the organization?
I would say 50%.
Mm-hmm. And they were a pretty thriving company, considering that today they are out of business in Pittsburgh.
Well, that's not a fair statement to make. They were, at a time, a very thriving and coming company. They had a man at the head of the company from Overpuck 1932 to 1945, who was... I feel an outstanding merchant. As a matter of fact, in that period of time, we had, I think, three men in Pittsburgh who were very progressive and high-caliber merchants. And one was Edgar Kaufman. The other one was Jack Blum at Gimbel's.
Jack Blum.
Yeah.
And
the other one was Mayor at Horns.
At Horns?
Yeah. I'm trying to...
I should know, but I can't remember.
Wait a minute. Okay.
He was Jewish, wasn't
no.
he?
No.
He wasn't even Jewish. What was the name of the man at Horns?
Al Birchfield. B-U-R-C-H-F-I-E-L-D.
And he was not Jewish.
No.
And wasn't it true that Horns did not hire Jews
at one
for
time.
A long period?
Before Al Birchfield became head of the store, they hired very few Jewish people. Mm-hmm. However, the man who was hired before him, man by the name of Maya Brostoff, who was first in charge of the workrooms and then became merchandise manager in the basement and finally became general merchandise manager of Horns, was Jewish.
That's true. But still, I remember it was very, I knew nobody that was, none of the Jews
were,
who worked there for
Jewish.
A long while.
They were Jewish people.
Really? A salesperson?
Not many. I don't know.
Was rare.
There were few.
Yeah.
This is going now.
What one?
This is going now.
Oh, this is all here, okay. Yes, okay. For posterity. Is that the word? All right, so now we have it clearly clarified that you have children and we have to learn their names.
I was telling you before that Ruth worked at the in the state.
Oh, yeah.
and then after we bought the store, Ruth worked in the store, first downtown, and then in Shadyside, and she really managed the Shadyside store until we closed the downtown store. Mm-hmm. And the Shadyside store really, as the downtown store became less and less important, became the most important of the three stores.
That must have been exciting, running that type of store. Did you have many imports?
Almost everything we had was imported.
That's what I was thinking. Did you leave the country to buy anything, or did you purchase mostly in New York?
We purchased most of it in New York, but when we went apart, we purchased apart too.
Yeah. So it was an exciting business, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's exciting business from many points of view. No. Not only from the merchandise we bought, but from the people who are our customers.
Right.
We run business long enough to take care of three generations.
I'm sure. Yeah. So when did you have time to have children? How's that for a question? Pretty leading, isn't
we
it?
We have three children.
They had time, as you can see.
Our daughter is the oldest child. Her name is Paula Jane, PaulaJane, one name.
Is that one name?
Oh. In this case, it's one
yeah,
name.
Yeah, you just said it. Because I know a Paula, but Paula Jane. That's neat.
And we have two sons. One is Frank Jr., Frank L. Jr. And the youngest one is Theodore Mark.
And where are they today?
Our daughter is teaching on the outskirts of Philadelphia. Teaching still social studies. Mm-hmm. And is getting her certification in math now.
How old is she?
She's 43. Our oldest son is in Pittsburgh. He is in his own business. It's a leasing business of small equipment.
Is that Frank Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of equipment? A special
restaurant equipment.
Restaurant.
Office equipment. Printing equipment. Any kind of equipment that is he does not handle automobiles, and he does not handle very expensive equipment, mm-hmm. because the competition in very expensive equipment is much too keen, and he can't compete. Mm-hmm. He has no half million, $5 million leases. That's not.
Is he married or single?
All our children are married.
All are married.
Our daughter is not married at this time. She's in the process of getting a divorce. But both boys are married. Our daughter has one son. Our oldest son has two sons. Our youngest son has two daughters.
Is the youngest son of Pittsburgh living in Pittsburgh also?
No, the youngest son is living in Seattle.
That's far away.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle, Washington, the other end of the country.
And we don't know what he does. You know,
yeah, he is in the social work, and he's working mainly with mentally disturbed men and women.
difficult business.
Particularly the sort of specialized in schizophrenics.
Wow. Is it a private institution for which he works?
It's a private institution, but most of the funding comes, as all of these institutions, comes from city, state, county.
Yeah. And you said he has a child also.
He has $2.
It's wonderful. So you have five grandchildren?
Grandchildren range in age from 2.5 to 9.5.
Well, you are blessed.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yes. Absolutely.
Incidentally, the wives of our sons, both of our sons are working. Our oldest son's wife in Pittsburgh is working at Pittsburgh National Bank. She's vice president there. Huh. She's this. And our youngest daughter's wife is also working in social work, and her specialty, she's working mainly with battered children.
What kind?
Battered children.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. My daughter worked with that too. That's interesting. What about politically? We must talk about that now that you're retired. What are your feelings about politics in this particular moment that we're living in, which is December 1986? How does Pittsburgh and its politics, as well as the national scene, look to you?
Well, basically, I have always belonged to the Democratic Party. I have not ever voted a straight Democratic ticket, but in most instances, I voted for Democratic presidents. Mm-hmm. Also for a democratic state and city government. At one time, I was quite socialistically inclined. Mm-hmm. That was during the period when I first came here. As I grew older, I became, I guess, less liberal is the best way to put it. I still feel I'm liberal, but I'm less liberal.
Mm-hmm. Would you say this has been a national phenomenon, too?
I think that's a phenomenon of growing older more than national.
Mm-hmm. But here we are in these times with a Republican president who is so well loved.
Not by all of us.
Until a month ago.
Don't you think that in politics it is very, very difficult for any position to stay completely clean of wrongdoing? I'm thinking back of a man who I think we all regard as ethically a man of very, very high quality and standing. I'm talking about President Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. Had an incident where one of his Sherman Adams,
right,
was accused of taking gifts.
Right.
And we had another in almost every time.
Now, you're right. There has
we
been.
We are right now in a situation, and I don't think anybody can condone what has happened.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about selling arms to an unfriendly nation. This country did that.
Not only doing it without authority from Congress.
Right.
And doing it in a way that was very secretive.
Yes. Well, what
nobody seemed to know about it.
True. What you're pointing out is what I grew up with, and we all did in our country. Everything is supposedly and finally comes out in the open. So we learn of all these things that take place that aren't really acceptable.
What I'm also trying to say is, I'm not trying to make a case for our president today,
yeah.
But I also don't think that we should completely condemn him.
Right.
I think he has tried to do some very good things, and I think he's been successful in doing quite a number of good things. I think he's been successful in during his administration bringing down inflation, bringing down interest rates.
Right. And he has been friendly to Israel, wouldn't you say?
I think so.
Yes. Pro-Israel. This is going to go off any second, so you
can say anything.
The fact
that he's been pro-Israel, I don't know if it should be a credit to him. I think it has been to the advantage for a government to be pro-Israel, not only to the Eisenhower administration, but all the way through, because it's...